For listeners, as you may have heard, Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, is blocking Canadian access to all content created by news providers, including this radio station, in response to the Online Broadcasting Act. Access to local news and information matters to everyone, and while radio stations use their airwaves to keep you informed, we also use social media to share local news, events, and initiatives, and even content about our upcoming programming. We need you to write your MP and convey your concerns. Learn more and find a letter template for your MP on our website. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Manu Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. And we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, CJSFCA, streaming worldwide. Today, have I got a treat in store for you. We're going to be talking about echo healing. We're going to be talking about forest bathing, things you probably never heard of. But I have three superstars here that are going to bring the program and information to you, and I'm going to let each introduce themselves, starting with Carrie.
Hi, my name is Carrie, or Kari Crow, and I'm a co-founder of Eco Wisdom. I have a PhD in psychology and have worked as a professor in the past, and have also experienced pretty significant health issues. And I currently live on a forest preserve, and I have been amazed at how well I feel when I'm in the forest. And that's part of what powers my passion for sharing accessible nature well-being programs and the Nature Guide training programs. That's me.
Well, and I am happy to hear that word powered, because the other audience that's listening is powered by age. Seniors who are savvy, reservoirs of knowledge, and also activists working to protect things like the forest. Next, Kim, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Kim, and I am a registered massage therapist, shiatsu therapist, and a facilitator with Eco Wisdom and their accessible nature wellness programs. I'm also a mindfulness meditation guide, and I live in Toronto, and I really appreciate everything that I've learned through Eco Wisdom to find more avenues to be around nature. And it's so healthy, so wonderfully healthy.
Well, I'm happy you mentioned all those modalities, because last month I was invited to a workshop virtual, and they said it was going to be 2 hours, and I thought, how am I going to have to stay in front of the computer that long? And people like him, therapists, showed things that you could do, like mindfulness. So we'll hear a bit more about the modalities that are involved in Echo Wisdom, Echo Health. And that brings us to Laurel.
Thanks, Charlotte. I'm Laurel, and I'm a photographer and artist, and I live with a chronic illness. And I'm a longtime colleague and friend of Kari, and have worked with her on many projects in her academic life. And recently, during the pandemic, I called her up and said, I need some community and I need some beautiful things to do, because I knew she'd be up to something interesting, as she always is. And lo and behold, I landed here, and I went to the programs, and I could not believe how effective they were just virtually, these nature bathing programs. And I got further involved technically, and also am a facilitator, and I'm also doing the training.
Well, and we're going to be hearing about that training program, but I'm going to go, we talk about wisdom. I learned so much in 2 hours of forest bathing within my apartment, and I'm going to ask Carrie to share more about what is eco-wisdom.
Well, eco-wisdom is like this entity that we created, and I'd say it's a lot about community, people coming together and recognizing our place in nature and looking to nature to understand things like diversity and things like interdependence and really settling into who we are and how we are in the world. And even if some of us live with disabilities or age-related impairments or chronic illnesses, we are still part of a larger community and we are still part of nature. And so it's really about belonging. I think if you had to really narrow it down, we create these programs. And as I mentioned before, I have this PhD in psychology. I'm really interested in the research and sort of the sort of the clinical practices and their effects on the mind and body and heart. So there's that. There's also this creative piece. And so much is about just being open to the wisdom of nature. And it could look like, you know, you're spending quiet time in nature and you start to see something and it becomes a metaphor for something in your life. And then it becomes giving you like a direction or helps you to answer a question. And so we do certain practices that get us into the body, mindfulness practices to help us to calm the nervous system. And once we do that, then we become receptive and we can be more open to these awesome, awesome, beautiful gifts from nature. And of course, all of this is backed up in science. There's a whole field of science called forest medicine, which originated out of Japan, but has now moved across around the world. And looking at things like how our natural killer cells, both in terms of number and function, increase when we spend time in nature. Our mood improves. Our ability to tolerate pain increases. And there's this beautiful thing that I just love observing, which is that people become more empathetic towards one another. And that allows us to connect socially and feeds into the sense of belonging and community building and community capacity building. It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of. Yeah. I'm not sure if that answered all of your question there, but
no, but it gave some touch points of other things we're going to be talking about. But this green prescription, I'm looking because we're using Zoom and I can see you instead of us others just being able to hear you. But there's a tree behind you and it just looks like it has its arms out where it can embrace you. And I was thinking of the green prescription. That is something when you talk about all the benefits that are there. But if a person just goes to their employer and says, well, I need 10 minutes to go take a walk, they might not honor it. But tell us a bit about the green prescription and how that might help a person to be able to engage with nature.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's sort of like sometimes we need science or we need medical validation for us to really adopt a concept. But ultimately, I find that people who practice nature connection, it's almost like they're relearning something that they deeply know intuitively. So the green prescription is helpful because it has the medical backing. So people who are just a little bit curious, maybe even a little bit suspicious about this, you know, forest bathing, or in Japanese, it's called Shinrin-yoku. You know, what is this practice? But when you have medical doctors who've been through their training and they're actually prescribing going into parks, and this is something that's now expanded to most of the provinces across the country, started in BC parks, then Ontario, and now it's most of the parks have some kind of program where medical doctors or other people who are registered, like physiotherapists, can also be involved. And in this, they have a resource where they can have guidelines around what they might prescribe or recommend or suggest to their clients. So it's interesting because, I mean, I think it's important, but a lot of the work we do is like directly connected to community, and we're doing it for ourselves, and it becomes almost like a powerful form of peer support. So while we recognize and we think it's wonderful that there are these people who are talking about green prescriptions, right, that this is something that we can do for ourselves, and it's free, right? We're not talking about high medical costs, right? It actually has, if you go on a 3-day, 2-night, weekend away, you can increase the function of your white blood cells, your NK cells, by 40%. And that increase in your body's ability to fight infection will be sustained for over a month. I mean, it's just incredible. And there are other studies that look at 50 minutes, that's under an hour, within an urban park, and they're still finding all kinds of incredible physiological benefits. So while it is wonderful that there are these park prescription programs and that doctors are getting on board, it is also something that communities can do for themselves. And I really, that's something that, you know, we've been working with disability organizations, for example, and it's great to see people come together and recognize and experience the benefits on their own. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that our friends from senior centers, there's about 6 different senior centers that participate in the Powered by Age podcast program. And some of them have been activists that have worked for things like breaks at work, just good things for the community. So I think knowing about it, being able to connect with you and talk with it, it might help other people to know, how can my group of friends that are in our building, like some people live in a co-op, you know, what are some things we can do to make this accessible? We're going to give you a chance at the end to say contact points, but right now, could you give an email or a website that people could contact you with to get to know more about this?
Sure. It's info@ecowisdom.ca, and the website is just www.ecowisdom.ca. Pretty straightforward. Yeah, so it's ecowisdom, wisdom, ecowisdom.ca.
That's the place to be.
yeah, we've got lots of information on the website. Yeah.
Speaking of modalities, I'm a poet, and I heard Kim mention poetry is one of the forms. And even during that day, that seemed like it was going to be a long program, you used poetry. Kim, what do you have to say or share about using poetry as a modality, along with some of the other modalities that you use?
Well, with poetry, I think we can, even just listening to poetry, sometimes the words are so evocative, the phrases are evocative, and often you'll find a lot of poets write about nature and being in nature and how much it does for them. And even if we just visualize what their very poetic offerings about nature, we can benefit from that. Just visualizing ourselves in that same place, or opening up to whatever it is they're talking about, sky, stars, water. As soon as we say water, we can feel it kind of flowing in our body. And I think personally, we forget is that we ourselves are nature. Mm-hmm. And we
imagine that.
Yeah. And it's a very important thing to remember. And when we connect with nature, I think part of connecting with nature is seeing that, you know, trees that bend in different ways and they're not perfect helps us to connect with ourselves and our imperfections, and give us the ability to accept our imperfections where we are at this moment. There's so many different benefits from it. And using poetry is another meditative tool. There's so many tools that we can use. Sound, just the a waterway can be another way to get into that mindfulness groove. so many different ways. And these are all, I think, just tools that we give out, and whatever calls to you the most, you can take it home and work with it.
Now, I like the fact that you had many different modalities, and even if you weren't outside, it was hot. I'm in a place where on that week, I think it was about 100 degrees outside. And you said, well, if you have a plant on your desk, and I thought, well, that's something. There's a plant in the living room, and I got the plant and the encouragement to find something different. And it was philodendron. And of all the leaves, one leaf had these two white things, and it looked like two waterfalls. My brain pictured two waterfalls coming out of the leaf. Mm-hmm. And it was just so simple, but having a structure, having something like the Eco Wisdom Program, or having something that the trainers do with people, gives you ideas of how you can not have to go to the forest. You might not have money to go to the forest that day or the gas, but something as simple as meditating and looking and observing a plant really taught me a lot. This little plant behind me, I looked at it afterwards and I said, have I given it any water? There's some little buds that look tight. But thank you for explaining how these different modalities work in. Laurel, in working, we have people that have used being on the podcast and doing a simple segment of the podcast, just being validated. When you talked about it validates people who might have a disability or gives people a chance to experience and learn their own bodies as well as how they interact. Can you share some of what happens? Like, you are also involved in the training. Can you explain some of those processes and how that helps?
Well, an essential key to the program, or essential foundation to the program, is to be giving options, always options. And their options, for instance, very simple one is a sort of body meditation that Kari does, which can start with looking up, breathing in and looking down and breathing out. And then you can add your shoulders and you can add your arms. And one of the things that Kari always does is encourages us to try all of these options, even if you're able to do, you know, the whole arm movement, just to experience the different ways of doing things. And it validates that as not just, well, that's all you can do, but this has value for everybody, trying things in different ways. And having all of the options laid in front of you, instead of a lot of people with disabilities may be concerned, like that it's going to be 2 hours, it's going to be too long, I'm not going to be able to sit there, for instance. And so there's the stress, which is going to inhibit you, first of all, but you may feel you need to ask permission, or maybe you don't want to ask permission, but to be given permission to be exactly who you are without any real, nothing unusual about that. It's just part of us that we're all different and we're all going to do things differently for different reasons on different days. And that is a strong validation of accepting yourself and others exactly who you are in that moment.
I like the choices, because so often, I mean, I've worked as a health educator and a nutritionist, and I've worked with people who resist things because you just get limited options, you know, and it hasn't asked the person to experience. You know, you might like to try brown rice, or you might like to try something else, rather than saying you have to have this, this, this. So I really like the options, because when people aren't told you have to do something, probably everybody that was on the podcast or on that program tried the different things just because of the way that you presented it. I said, well, you know, you could go outside, or you could do this, or you could write a poem, or you could do a song. But just the different options really make it healthy in and of itself. Too much of health has been really rigid. And sometimes, you know, like those commercials where they tell you about something that's great for your head, and then at the end it says you might get a crack in your skull. I like this, that, you know, there weren't any things that, you know, that you had to say at the end, you know, may also cause. Can you tell me a bit about the training? You're offering the opportunity for other people to learn how to do this program?
Yeah, it's a 6-month training program, and we have this wonderful team of people who've been part of this EcoWisdom community who are offering their services as mentors. So it's a virtual program right now, although we're thinking at some point we might add some possible in-person components now that we're moving into opening up a little bit more. But there are definite advantages to having it virtual in terms of accessibility and in terms of bringing together people from all over the world. One of our trainees was traveling and went to South America, Central America, and was able to show us the kind of landscapes and the plants that she was seeing. This next time around, it looks like we're going to have someone from the UK, someone from New Mexico. Like, it's really interesting to bring people from different geographies, maybe different cultural backgrounds together. And so, so we do most of the training is online. We have an online course that people can move through at their own pace. We offer sort of parameters. We offer a framework with the understanding that if something happens in one's life and you need more time, we're there to listen and to offer extra support and extra time. So there's always built in, because most of the trainers are living with disability or chronic illness ourselves. And so we understand that we can have some limitations and require some modifications and be competent and develop and refine our skills, both as trainers, but also as guides. And guides and training. So we have an online component. We have the mentors that work one-to-one with you and in small groups. And then we have live sessions that, so they're online, but they're live. So we come together and we are able to explore some of the concepts. We have a wonderful array of guest speakers, including naturopathic doctors talking about plants and all of the medicinal properties and how to go about making, plant teas when you're offering a guide program, all the way from that to sort of some mindful movement. We've had people come in and lead us in, you know, mindful breathing and mindful movement, and just a whole array of resources. And we talk about, you know, you mentioned earlier, Charlotte, that you have some people from sort of activist, sort of protection of the forest type organizations. And a lot of what we're doing, of course, my partner, Dave, who's the co-founder of EcoWisdom with me, and we live on this forest preserve, and he's an environmental educator and been very involved in environmental issues for 30 years now. And so what we've done is we've brought together the mindfulness. I'm also a mindfulness meditation teacher. So we bring together the mindfulness and activism. So the course also includes information about ecology and what's happening with the climate. But we are also learning about mindfulness. We actually have a subcomponent that's all about mindfulness, so that when you become a guide, you can comfortably lead a nature-based mindfulness meditation, a short one, but you'll learn things about how do you start the meditation, what do you do during the meditation, how do you wrap it up at the end, and how do you always make sure that people feel that they have choice, because this makes it more trauma sensitive, right? We're trying to be trauma informed in how we offer this program. And this kind of practice, nature-based mindfulness, is much more accessible to people, for example, who have a trauma background, compared to sitting meditation with your eyes shut. So if you have your eyes open and you give people lots of choice and you say, find something that is pleasant. And what is pleasant to you will be different from what is pleasant to me. And that's perfectly fine. Just go find something in your natural, open all of your senses and find something that is pleasant. And then we will guide you in a process of going deeper into connecting with that pleasantness. And it becomes like this embodied experience that you learn to cultivate and grow and bring into the body. And to, as a source of nurturing, as well as belonging. Yeah. So we're really excited about the training program. We've got a growing number of mentors. We've got currently a team of 12, but every year I see it's growing. It's growing, and we've got guest educators as well, and people with all kinds of backgrounds, including people who have backgrounds in contemplation and contemplation practices. And that's another key thing about our process is I'm also trained as an interfaith spiritual director. And so we bring this sense of non-judgment to the way we communicate with one another. Yeah.
You know, that is so important right now, where we're at a time of people yelling each other, being so upset and hanging so much on words rather than meaning and feeling. So I think this is really important. Can you tell again, how would people send their information or get their information to indicate that they're interested in having the training?
All they have to do is send an email message to info@ecowisdom.ca. Yes, and we would be very happy to get back to them. We also have information on the website. I believe it's under services and then training. And then within there is a brochure, a two-page brochure. There is the fee schedule. There is all kinds of information about the topics that we cover, which includes, Indigenous philosophy, ecological science and citizen science. How can we actually be involved in protecting and monitoring the environment in our neighborhoods? Ranging from those topics to, I don't know, we cover a lot of different things, but it's interesting because there's like the topics and then there's the processes. So we really embody and through the mentors and the instructors guiding people through the program, we emphasize self-compassion, we emphasize mindfulness, and we emphasize contemplative communication. And so through those sort of things that become integrated in how we teach and how we are with one another, then we end up with these beautiful guides that lead these programs. And they say, we were going to do this program and this thing happened with the weather. So we were able to say, you know what? I'm bringing self-compassion to myself. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be exactly the way I planned it, but that's okay. I'm going to bring mindfulness meditation. I'm going to bring nature connection into my own practice as a guide. And I'm going to then be flexible and move on in an appropriate way if the circumstances shift a little bit unexpectedly during a program that you're leading. So we've been so impressed with the guides. Before we even finished the 6-month training, we had our 3 guides in British Columbia who are working together. And that's another thing we emphasize is, collaborative, like bring in a friend, don't do this. You don't have to do this on your own. This is really, our approach is very much a collaborative model of leadership. So the group in BC were 3 people with quite significant levels of physical disability, and they worked together as a team. And before we even finished the 6 months, they were leading programs. And they have another program this weekend in Surrey.
That sounds exciting. Part of our audience are college students, people who are at, because CJSF is on Simon Fraser University campus. But are there ways that maybe students who are looking for a project to do in a class might connect that with you to focus it around forest healing, forest bathing, or any aspect of the program? Is that possible?
Yeah, it is. In fact, we are currently partnering with a university and they are collecting data on our participants. Not that our participants are, research subjects, but, they're agreeing to be interviewed and surveyed about what's happening in terms of their mood, but also what's happening in terms of their health promotion behaviors. So what we find is we do this 2.5-hour program online where people have the choice to work with their houseplants inside or go step outside and then come back to the computer screen, having people have a break from the computer screen, but we hold the space. And then by the end, we find that people feel the benefits in their bodies and in their mood, and then they're motivated by that to keep going with the practice. And so that's part of what this research study is looking at with through the surveys is, are you continuing with your nature connection practices? What does that look like? And also pre-post in terms of mood and pain levels, perceptions, that kind of thing. So, you know, because I have my background is as a